Where's the music?
Blog Talk Radio.
Like, where the hell's the music?
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We saying what we want. Give it to you, not a scum. Any place, any time. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Oh yeah, that's me. Hello, world, and good morning, Australia. This is Uncensored Radio, your guiltiest pleasure, and I am one of your hosts this evening, Jeffrey. And alongside of me tonight, I have some fabulous, fabulous individuals. Let me just introduce you to them really quickly. We have Fritz, Frida Freddy. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fabulous, trying to keep warm in this blustery evening.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy. And
oh, yeah.
We have Miss Debbie, how you doing, Debbie?
I'm doing good, honey. Just trying to stay nice and warm.
It's a little bitter, girl. It's a little bitter.
It sucks.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have the last but not least, Miss Vera. How you doing, Vera?
I'm doing okay. I took the day off to go shopping, though, and couldn't get out because of the blizzard.
Oh, no.
I know, right? Damn,
yeah.
Snow.
I went shopping anyway.
Did you? Good.
Yep.
Good for you.
I got up. We shut down early from work at 3:30. Then I came home, picked up everyone at the house, and decided to go to Walmart and spend a couple hours there.
Nice. How'd your car handle? Because you have a new car, right?
Christmas tree.
Yeah,
it
handled fabulous with the snow tires and the new rims on it for the winter. It was better. Last year when I got the car in February, it sucked in the snow. Now I was very comfortable with it.
Very. I just had to do that. We have, everybody knows, like, there's the Jeffrey song you can go listen to on YouTube. If you just go look at My Uncensored TV there or My Uncensored Radio, go Google that on the YouTubes. And you can check out some of our videos, Uncensored Talk with Karen Ashley. You can check out some of my blogs. You can Censored Uncensored Reality, and you can see some of our past interviews with the Power Rangers and whatnot. So make sure you go check that out. And also, go over to myuncensoredradio.com and check out some stuff. But back to the story. You can go listen to the song about Jeffrey, which talks about my black beetle bug, which there was a whole lot. Oh, there's somebody plowing my driveway right now. I was wondering who was out there. Interesting. But so I put snow tires on it for the first time ever in my life. I put snow tires on a car, and I don't really get to drive it anymore because I got to drive the grocery at her. But Joe has to drive like 45 minutes to work, and he's like, it was fine. He's like, it was actually really good today in the snow. Meanwhile, I'm driving the all-wheel drive thing, and I've got it in the snow setting. The fucking thing sucked. I'm all over the road. I'm like driving on this back road. I'm looking at a Jeep off the road, smashed into a tree. On my way back, right by the Jeep, there was this poor little Toyota. I don't think they're going to drive it no more. It's ruined. It's just all smashing it up. I'm like, this is just not, I was like, no. So, of course, I called the same place I got the snow tires for the bug because they were cheap. And, needless to say, the SUV that I thought would be good in the snow has to go in for snow tires. I'm not happy.
That's funny.
Vera, you have an SUV. How is your car handling?
Well, I had a Honda that handled terrifically. That was an all-wheel drive that could get through anything. This one hasn't really been tested because I didn't go out in that crap today. I stayed home and didn't work on my manicure decorations and complained bitterly about the weather and taxes.
Yeah, I'm not. I wasn't feeling it. I went out this morning. I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going back out. Because the car was just, And then I started thinking, I'm like, people in other states have no idea what to do in this stuff. But as I'm watching all these cars. No, but I'm watching all of the cars slide all over the place and the SUVs off the road. I'm like, I'm wondering, when did New Yorkers forget how to do this?
I thought it was the last several years we haven't had much snow.
But they forget every spring. They forget everything they know about driving in the snow and the first snowstorm. They all got to end up in the ditch because they don't remember to slow down, and they all think they know. It happens every freaking year since I learned to drive when I was 16.
Like, I'm Grandma Moses. If there's snow on the road, I'm going 10.
Well,
like,
you're
going 10.
I had to go have blood drawn today because they're testing, make sure that my medicine for my thyroid is working. And I think I drove like 35 miles an hour and the speed is 55. And there was other cars, but there was like 2 to 3 car lengths in between. Get in there, do what we got. I got to do. And I drop off, you know, a few Christmas cards there in Auburn. And I'm coming back, and the first road where Walmart is, where they got, what is it, KFC or whatever the hell that is there.
Right, yeah.
And I wasn't going to go to Walmart, but this white SUV starts sliding, and then there's a blue SUV that's doing maybe 5 or 6 miles an hour, and he's trying to miss it, and they go kaboom. I said, well, I guess I'm going to Walmart because I can't go around them. It was like, you got to freaking be kidding me. I was like, I spent like an hour in Walmart hoping the roads would be plowed. No. I'm like, oh, my God. It was horrible. And then Mark decides he wants to go to Walmart tonight. I'm still driving 35 miles an hour. I'm like, oh, my God.
Now, I guess I'm the crazy one of the group because I love this shit. I mean,
I don't mind it.
No, I don't. Either. I think it's so beautiful. Like, I just kind of sat out back on my back deck tonight in the cold, all bundled up, just looking at the woods and everything all covered in the snow. And I'm like, oh, yeah, now I know why I do this and suffer through 9 months of shit is for this moment. Or just driving down my road right before my house where there's trees on either side and everything's just covered
really
in white.
Oh, it's really neat to look at.
I'm like, oh, it's like a rebirth.
I am not sentimental about snow. I am totally okay with a green Christmas.
Actually,
too.
Snow came Christmas Eve, stayed for Christmas Day, and the day after it could be gone.
Yeah, I'm fine with a green Christmas as long as there's palm trees and an ocean nearby. I'm good. But if I'm in New York, I expect it to fucking snow. And usually by, like, January, I'm done. I'm ready. Like, okay, you know, it's enough of this crap.
Yeah. It's not a postcard after Christmas. It's just a pain.
You know, and I always get pissed. Because I remember, like, for, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row, St. Patrick's Day was always gorgeous, and I was out in shorts. And, you know, March was usually, I always thought, kind of nice. And this last year, it was shitty and crummy and rainy, and I'm like, global warming my ass.
Yes.
It's like it's all changing because our weather patterns are changing so drastically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I try to always, like... A couple times a year, I'm like, all right, where the hell can I go to get away from this weather?
Well, my girls are trying to talk me into going to Texas.
Oh, no. See, that's too much.
That's just for a trip.
But
I can't. It ain't even the weather. It's the people. Like, I know some folks that have moved down there. And, you know, Karen from the show is from Texas, but no thanks. I'm just, nope, mm-mm.
Just be thankful that we're not Buffaloing what they got a few weeks ago.
I wanted that. I want a blizzard. I want another blizzard. Like, I want a good 5 feet of snow. I want to be snowed in. I want that whole thing.
Well, they're saying
they're calling this a nor'eastern, you know.
Well, bring it. Let's get snowed in, bitches.
No.
No.
Yes. Like, you know, right now, I'll be going to find some skis. I will be walking up to the neighbor's house, like, who's got a snowmobile? Because we're going to the liquor store. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey.
You know, you just make do with what you got. Like, I'm telling you, I could do it on a four-wheeler, too. Get me a four-wheeler. I will get to the liquor store. I will get us liquor. You need some bread? I'll get you some bread. You want a taco? I'll get you a taco. And then we're going to drink the wine. That's what we're going to do.
Nope.
And we're just going to sit by my little campfire now because I don't have a real one, and we're going to drink the wine by the fire.
Oh, okay.
I'm a nurse. We don't get snow days.
Oh, see,
I
get snow days.
Where in the hell
is
the log in? I'm sorry.
The who?
I'm trying to get back on, and this computer is not cooperating, so.
Don't worry about it, Fritz. So,
we have
a little crazy thing. I'm sucked into this, and now I'm, like, shitting bricks. You guys got to help me out. So, Madison, who was on the show years ago, you know, this bitch, like, broke his back at a Jell-O wrestling thing a couple of months ago with Fritz there. And I went last year. I didn't go this past time because I was out of town. And now this bitch is, like, back, got the turtle shell off, doing drag again, and they're going to roast him. And I've got to go roast this kid. And I'm like, what is too mean? Because I'm like a roast. And me and this bitch got a history. So I'm like, in my head, I've got all these little because I like those kind of insult comics. Like, I like, you know, what's her name? Lisa Lampanelli. Like, she's real rude. Like, people get real offended because she'll call out. Yeah, she'll call out your race, she'll call out the gays, she'll call out the Asians. She don't care. She'll call out everybody. And I love it. Like, it's one of my guilty pleasures. I love it. And I'm a little worried because Fritz, you're going to have to go first so I can see how the crowd reacts to you.
Well, I'm the roast master.
Oh, well, the fun thing is... Well, right, because, like, you watched Joan Rivers, they were all nasty, but... My favorite thing is, though, is you get to roast the other roasters, too.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be Samantha Vega and Poison Waters. That's going to be fun.
So, wait, it's those two, you and me?
And whoever else who wants to do it. Because they're going to see some performances, so whoever else happens to come out that night.
Oh, dear. So, I'm a little nervous, guys, because, you know, I haven't been on stage in a very long time. So it's very frightening
to me. We can keep you anonymity by keeping the curtain closed and you can stand there and talk on the microphone without them seeing you.
Oh, my God, I can't do that. I did, you know, we went out and kind of, you know, talked about the show to the club. I did get on the little platform there and I introduced Fritz and that went over okay. I was fine with that. Oh, I hear the song. Somebody's listening to the show.
That's me.
So I'm a little nervous, ladies. Like, I'm a little nervous. Like, I think, you know, like, I kind of want to tear them apart a little bit.
Hmm.
Like, years ago, there was this thing. Go ahead.
I say that's the intention of a roast. Needle him. Roast them. Make him feel the heat.
Well, years ago, we had a show called Charades Idol, and I was a guest judge one night, and he was a contestant. And this bitch always comes out in sleeveless outfits, you know, and he's got the flap on the arms. Okay, I'm a big girl. I get it. I have it again. You know, and I'm not a fan. Like, I believe in sleeves. You know what I'm saying? Like, just don't do it on stage. It drives me nuts. And he always has the arms
out. Yeah,
all
she does is wave once, and she waves for an hour.
Right. And then, and then the bitch, okay, you know, I made a joke about his nose because I was like, honey, maybe you should get into a car accident and break your nose so you can get the insurance to pay for the nose job. You know, and people laughed, but I'm like, well.
Who are the other callers on?
That's funny.
I'm like, it's a little nerve-wracking. So it's something I got to get used to. We'll see what happens, but I'll keep you updated. And hopefully Mike J will be there and he'll film it so we can put it up on the blog. So for all the listeners, you can see whether I tank or I bomb. Maybe we can have a little vote on it.
We have a great motto in my family. Nothing sacred if it's funny.
Well, that's kind of how I feel. And this bitch is always posting his business on Facebook and then, like, complaining he don't want people in his business. So, you know, I've got some of my favorite posts of his saved.
So I'm thinking
that I could just maybe read his Facebook posts.
That would be the ultimate.
And the fact that he kind of set the roast up for himself.
It was his idea to roast himself. It's not, you know, I'm going for my birthday.
Right. Well, but nobody came to him and was like, oh, hey, we'd like to roast you. Nah, like, bitch, you need that much attention, you got to roast yourself. Like, come on now. But
get me up and close the door, set yourself on 350, and go to Cat Pond Point.
I know that's right, bitch. I know that's right. But, you know, kids, besides all that, does anybody have anything interesting happen to them over the last week? Anything happen? Anybody, you know, get anything crazy?
Cray, I got my Christmas bonus at work.
Oh, well, that's fabulous. Nice. That's a plus.
Oh, big plus. It was more than last year, so I'm like happy.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to my daughter and tell her hello. She's listening.
Oh, well, hello, daughter.
It's Stevie.
Oh, hello.
Hi,
pumpkin. Oh, Stevie. Oh, can I embarrass her, Debbie?
You can do
it. That
you
wasn't
want.
Really an answer. That was just a giggle, so I'm going to do it. Okay, so we met Stevie and Debbie. They, like, lived across the street. And, like, Stevie was a young youth, you know, where she was going through those questionable stages. And she was hanging out with the gay. So, like, for 5 minutes, she'd be gay. She'd come home with a girl. And then the next day, it would be a boy. And the next day, it would be a girl. Like, this bitch flip-flopped more times than I don't even know. Like, it was just craziness. And I just kept looking at the lesbians. I was like, this bitch, nope. And now she's with a dude and got a baby. I was like, see?
Yep.
She's nah. She's
like
not a
girl
true. She's not a true lesbianese, honey. She like a no. You know. She likes the stranger wood. She's not trying to get all up in the Pikachu funk. Okay.
No, she's a good kid though.
She is.
The busy part says we're all a mixture. That very few people are truly only gay or truly only straight. But most people are a combination.
You know, and I have to, really, like, I'm glad you kind of brought that up, because one of the things I've noticed with having teenagers in the house and getting in their Facebook shit, because, you know, I'm that nosy parent that's, like, all up in their business, and none of them are straight. And then come to find out, like, all these kids are, like, bisexual, and, like, the boys are doing boys and girls, the girls are doing girls and boys, and I'm like, you know, this could have been so much more fun in high school. If I was in high school now versus then, because, you know, it just would have been a lot more fun.
Yeah, she's a
good kid. Yeah.
She's down in Houston, Texas, enjoying the warm weather.
Well,
we're all
up here freezing
our ass off.
Well, that's not very nice of her. She's in nice weather. Go fuck.
Go fuck yourself, Stevie. But... Frick, could you imagine it? Could you imagine it? If the straight boys on the football team were, like, looking for a little something from the fellas?
They probably were. We just didn't know about it.
Kids are totally uncaring about sexuality. It's about as interesting as being right or left-handed. They don't care.
I think it's...
...that we were raised.
I think it's actually really healthy, because I came from a household where you didn't really talk about sex. You know, there wasn't really much, there was affection. I don't want to say that there wasn't. But, you know, I don't, like, the hugging thing is kind of always awkward to me. Like, you know, I'm not a big affectionate person. Like, I'm not big on the I love yous. Like, I just not, I've never been. So, but when I started going out to the bar and I got this whole new group of people in my life where, you know, everybody kind of talked about their sex life freely. And one of the things I learned from that, well, it was great because, you know, maybe there's something that you were not sure about, you had a question about, and you could have a dialogue about things where you could be more comfortable with yourself and your sex life and have a better sex life because, oh, hey, well, they're having the same problem or this, you know, I think it's so much more healthy, and I think as a society, it'd be so less taboo if we just opened up the conversation even more.
Yeah, like, from when I was younger to now, society has definitely changed.
I think it has. Like, I mean, you could just see it on TV. Like, we see things on TV you couldn't see. What, you know, you had to watch HBO at nighttime to see the things we're seeing on daytime television these days. And I don't know. Like, people are like, oh, there's over-sex in the culture. But I'm not so sure because it's something that's natural. It comes natural to all of us. So to me, repressing it is what's unnatural. Like, why are we so afraid of this? I really think, you know, because people was hugging their Bibles, maybe.
I don't know. It's like I said, it's changed a whole lot from when I was in my teens and my early 20s, and it still was something you didn't talk about or anything else. And now it's people are more open about their sexuality and, you know, what they like. And if they like both male and female, they're not afraid to say it. And, you know, it's just... It definitely is different than from when I grew up.
All right, different.
I think Rosie came out, or not Rosie, Ellen.
Ellen, yeah, mm-hmm. Like she was kind of one of the first big ones, but she lost her television show because of it.
She came out, she lost her television, her TV series. She was blacklisted for a little while, and then, baba boom,
and
now she's huge.
And bigger than ever.
Yep.
Well, and she's making more money.
You never ask a lady her age. How old are you, Jeffrey? No.
You know, Madison always used to do that. He always used to tell me how old I am. And I'm like, the funny thing is Madison's actually older than I am, this rotted bitch. And I'm like, you know, I don't care. Like, I'm 31.
Oh, you're a baby.
How old are you, Dad?
You're 50.
50?
I'm the oldest one here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be 47.
Well, I will be 57 in February.
Okay, just the 10 years difference in us, the amount of change between our two generations is astronomical.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
Yep, it's though I will tell you that I think there's a lot more violence in the United States now than there was when I was growing up.
I don't know that there's more.
I think we just hear about it because of the information technology and the media.
We used to be able to walk down Tallman Street and go to the theater that was over on South Ave, which is now an adult theater, and we'd be able to walk home and never got bothered. I remember the first time it ever hit the newspaper that a girl had been raped up near Burnett Park. And I was 14 or 15 years old. And that was big news. And it just kind of, you know, it's kind of gone out of whack. Because I remember going to church school on Tuesdays, and, you know, the teachers could discipline you. They can't do any of that anymore. God forbid you say Merry Christmas to someone.
My kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Leach.
Nobody cares. I've been saying this for all of them. Nobody cares if you say Merry Christmas.
No, I don't either. I don't ever have anybody.
You know, I've never heard anybody, even an atheist, get offended because somebody said Merry Christmas.
They either say it back or they don't respond. You know,
I have.
20 years ago, it was different. You know, you'd say Merry Christmas, and they would say it back, and there was no political incorrectness about it.
Going shopping 20, 25 years ago, you'd hold the door, and somebody would go through, and you'd say Merry Christmas. They'd say Merry Christmas back to you.
Yep.
People would smile, and everybody seemed friendly. You know, when you're in the stores, people would bump into you and say, excuse me. And that's my pet peeve right now. Nobody has any fucking matters. Manners.
I agree with you, but I always try, like, even when I'm in a bad mood, if I'm in a store and somebody bumps into me, I always try to let somebody go ahead of me, or, you know, if we're in a parking lot, like, I always try to wait or let somebody through if we're in traffic. And when we're in stores, I always try to be uber polite to people, no matter what, because I just, you know, you don't know what a day somebody else is having, and your kindness could make
the
difference for them.
Yeah.
So for me, like, that's just something I did. But going back to the culture changing, one of the things I think that really made a difference, like, especially for me in my childhood, was Oprah. Like, I feel like she kind of blew the doors off bringing in taboos that were not okay to talk about. Like, I feel like she kind of was a pivotal point in our society that changed the conversation of rape, abuse, racism.
Yeah.
Like, she was kind of one of the first trailblazers, I feel.
Let's go out of that. So Donnie was part of that, too.
Who?
Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue was part of that conversation. Like, I can remember every night I'd come home from
then
school.
Then you got Jerry Springer and all that crap that turned into all these
fights and feuds on TV.
Mom,
I didn't like
Springer.
I didn't like Maury Povich. I didn't like any of those.
No. No, like, Oprah was, she was fun. And do you guys, I don't know if you guys watched it, but I remember, like, Mom and I were in the kitchen, and she had this lady on where this guy broke in her house, and he's trying to rape her. So she stayed real still until she could get a moment, and then she grabbed him in the man junk. And I can still see this lady, I can still see this part of the episode, and I can see my mother on the floor in hysterics. Because of the way the lady was telling the story, that she grabbed him by the stranger wood, and he was, like, passing out, and she wouldn't let him go, and he was begging her, please, lady, please, and she wouldn't do it. And she dragged his ass out the house with no clothes on and threw him, and he just kept passing out. He was begging her, and she's like, uh-uh, if I let you go, you're going to get me. And she threw him out the house naked, squeezing his Johnson to death. And we just could not. I mean, it really wasn't funny, but, I mean, the way we just could not stop laughing. And, like, it was kind of, it made it okay. You know what I mean? It was, like, that first moment that I remember in my life of, like, this was a serious thing and a scary thing. But it kind of was, like, it made it okay for us to talk about. And I thought that was great because
that's a good
otherwise, I don't know,
Jeffrey,
that we would have had that dialogue. Right. And now, flash forward, 20-something years later, what?
I was just going back to the idea that it happens more frequently. I remember that first dialogue with my girlfriends, and we were sitting at a table, and there was 9 of us at this table, all about the same age, and we started talking about sexual abuse and rape. And out of the 9 women at this table, only 2 women could say they weren't abused in some way or another. So I don't think it's happening more. I just think we're talking about it more.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
I mean,
now,
that's like Bill Cosby.
Segue.
Yeah, Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
I mean, are you freaking kidding me? How old is he now?
77?
Why
yep,
are you waiting 20 years?
What's the first girl charging? Not even. It's more than that. The first one they're charging, 1974.
Well, I thought there was one in the 60s.
He probably can't even remember back that far.
I think he's got a good
mind
on him.
Are you freaking kidding me?
But the thing that I think everybody's having a lot of trouble with is these women now are coming forward because there was a comic, I think in like Pennsylvania, Philly or somewhere, and he like Googled it, saw it on Google, and then put it in his shows, and then like the outlets caught it, and you know, his whole career has stopped. Like, he had a sitcom coming back. He had a bunch of appearances. It's, you know, it destroyed his career.
Yeah.
And at first, when it was like one world, like, oh, you know, like, are we changing the tides to...
Needed to have it destroyed?
Did what?
If it's all true, he deserves to lose something?
Absolutely.
If it's
Abso-freaking-lutely.
If it's true, but here's what the media does. Somebody says something, somebody accuses, and before it's found out for fact, they're already destroyed.
Yep.
And there's
yep.
no recovery from that. And I'm to bring
no.
it up into modern, bring it up to something else, the whole thing with the football players and Bernie Fine and all that from SU.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he lost his job. And what
yep.
did they do afterwards? They couldn't find any charges to do to him, but he's already ruined.
Yep.
Did he do it?
Right.
I don't know if he did or not, but legally they didn't find anything to be able to press charges with. So technically nothing should have been said. If they couldn't press charges, nothing should have ever been said, and somebody's career didn't need to be destroyed publicly.
I mean, that's your
legally,
media.
Legally, you know, he may have been bad. He may have done something wrong. Right, I'm not judging on that. Everybody, it's the
yep.
media that destroyed everything for him. If he did it,
mm-hmm.
he deserved everything that happened to him. But what is the off chance? What is the possibility that maybe he didn't do anything and his career is
yep.
destroyed? Now, who pays that person back for that?
Well, and that happens all the time.
Right?
Man, I found it pretty smart for a minute. What happened?
Was she admitted knowing about?
What, Vera?
Wasn't the evidence that they had was there was a tape of Bernie Fine's wife admitting she knew about it?
Something.
I don't remember.
That she did stuff. I don't know about him, but that she was guilty of stuff.
I thought it was that she knew that it was going on, but that she expected them to drop it anyway.
Well, she was messing around with these boys herself, is what I heard.
Allegedly.
I guess, yeah, so far away,
but,
I don't remember, but I thought it was
right.
That she knew that he was messing around with them and didn't do anything about it.
That was like that chick, the guy that was on Seventh Heaven and the wife recorded the secret tape.
Oh, my God.
And at first, it didn't come out, where I'm like, if this bitch kept those tapes and didn't turn them over to the police, she's just as guilty as he is.
Yep.
Like,
she's guilty.
That made me sick. But she did, apparently, when he it all came out, she did record it, and she did actually give it to the police. They just didn't do anything with it. But the thing was, is 20 years prior to that, before they had their first kid, he apparently, allegedly, I don't know, had said something in an email to her, like, I'm glad it wasn't a boy because I don't know if I could have resisted my urges or something. Like, at that point, there's your sign, bitch. Hello? Like, hello? Like, again, though, I have to take into perspective, at least for me, that this was also, when that happened, I think it was in the early 80s, and things were a little different then, where you didn't talk about that kind of stuff so much.
Right.
So I do understand it to a point, but at the same time, like, you kept that under your hat all those years when it came out, like, we ain't keeping these secrets no more. And I'm just not really okay with that. I've got a really big problem with that, because to me, if you keep a secret, or if somebody comes to you and tells you, this is what my father did, or this is what happened, and you don't do anything about it, or if you stay with the person, you are just as guilty.
As guilty.
And going back, it just makes me insane. And going back to Cosby, you know, at first I was like, I don't know, like, I don't know. But now we have all these women that are coming forward, and it's in droves. It's not even a little. It's a lot. And people are like, you know, Rosie was on The View, and she was like, well, what do they have to gain? And, you know, at first I was like, well, they're getting exposure. I'm sure for some of them, jobs are going to come of this. But at this point, though, you know, I think it would take a very sick individual to take something like that and use it for their own personal gain. And I do believe that there's probably genuine some women that are coming forward. Like, there was one that went to Rosie and messaged her privately. She's older. And she's like, I'm not going public. I don't want the attention. I've made peace with it. But here's what happened to me. And that kind of resounded with me, because she doesn't want anything. And when this keeps you know, it's like with Whitney. For years, everybody said she was smoking crack. And she was smoking crack. Everybody knew it. You know, and I do feel when everybody says the same thing to you over and over and over again, it's true. And with him, there's just too many women at this point to say that there's just not a doubt in my mind that he didn't do something.
Stories, they're all very similar. You know,
right, but
they're all telling a very familiar, a similar tale.
Right, but it's all after one person said it, everybody's coming up telling the tale. I mean,
yep. And I understand where that gets a little tricky. And again, like, it makes me question, like, as a society, we've changed from innocent until proven guilty to guilty until proven innocent.
Well, they really got to do the research now.
Right. And that's scary. And even for me.
On board.
He was on board for what?
What?
We're the only country that does innocent until proven guilty. Most of the European countries are guilty until proven innocent. The burden of proof is on the accused.
Well,
right.
it's going from innocent until you're proven guilty. That's kind of changing to you're automatically guilty until you're proven you're innocent.
It has, but everybody, you know, there's until proven innocent, but then they put people, because they assume that they are, they hold them in jail forever. Until they decide to do a court.
But look at how many people have ended up on death row, and it wasn't until the last minute or after the fact that we found out they were innocent. So it is very scary for me. And being in the field that I'm in, you know, it could just take a pissed off parent to say some foul shit about me, and that's going to be it. Doesn't matter if I did it or not. It would destroy me. I would never, it'd be it. It'd be over. Everything. My life would be over.
You know,
I
know somebody recently that just something just happened. Somebody I personally knew. somebody from Camillus. I'm not going to bring up say names, but from Camillus that recently it was a gentleman. I don't know if anyone caught it a few months ago. Well, that was one of my regular customers at work. And this all happened. And nobody had it. You know, then you call his phone number, and it's all disconnected, and they refer his business phone numbers to other places that do the same type of business he did.
Mm-hmm.
And all, as soon as it was happened, I mean, it was like almost instantaneous that you try to contact, and all the phone numbers are changed, and it says, we're sorry, the person you are calling is no longer in business. Here's the numbers to reach and to do businesses similar to what was being done. And that happened all within less than a week of it all happening. So people just automatically, did he do this? I'm starting to believe yes. I do believe yes after all this happened. You know, the signs were there after I, you know, knowing this person as a work person who I dealt with as a customer. But I can say, you know, some of that stuff actually seems to make sense to me. That he was
just in the bar
touching.
Scene that we were in, I could think of like four people off the top of my head. They used to come into the bar. One was a cop, and the next thing I know, years later, I see him on News Channel 9 with their mug shot up because they're, you know, and it's like,
oh, I know who that is.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And it's a shame because he was cute too. But the thing that kills me, I'm just saying, like, just because, you know, he's an asshole doesn't mean he wasn't attractive. but it just kind of blows my mind because I feel like everybody, every person, each one of us, I feel like we all have a life that probably nobody else knows about. You probably have a secret or something that happened to you in your life or whatever that you've never talked about with anybody. You've never said the words out loud. People being abused. It happens. And, you know, I think it's always surprising when it happens. Like Bill Cosby. He's Mr. Cosby. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's the matter?
He's always
thought it's
clean. He never swore. I only heard him ever say shit once in his Bill Cosby himself. He said the word one time. I've never heard the man swear, cuss, or anything, and always thought of him as a wholsome person. So to hear
this, and he's an American dad.
And I don't want pudding no more.
What? And it makes us all kind of second guess our judgment.
Yeah.
Think all the rappers he accused of using bad language and selling out their race.
Right.
But what I got
he really
about
did.
That also is when the attorney for these people came on television asking him to waive the statute of limitations to go to court. I've never seen somebody ask, oh, let's waive this. You authorized to waive the statute of limitations so we can take you to court so you can have your day. I was kind of mystified by that they would. They'd get mad that he might say, no, I'm not going to do that. Did you see that on television?
He's 77 years old. He's not going to do it. Did you see the clip? I think it was with the Associated Press or something, where the guy's like, you know, it's just my job. I have to ask. And at the end, he's like, well, I'm asking you as a good person not to put that in there, blah, blah, blah. And then that footage got leaked. And it was
that
like,
that shouldn't have been on. He asked him not to do it. He authorized an interview, and he asked him not to do something, and then they put it on and made him look like an asshole.
Well, but the thing
is, if he's guilty, he deserves
anything
he gets. But,
I think you have to ask the question, and if he chooses not to answer it, that's his business. But you should show that part, but not after the interview's over and the conversation.
Right.
Like, that to me was kind of crazy.
Ask the question, I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer that question.
Right.
That
because
would be
if he came on here...
You
know damn well right now, I'd look at him and be like, did you do this? Like, all these women are saying that you did this. Like, so it's not looking too good for you right now, Mr. Puddin. So what's happening?
He was on NPR, and the reporter was interviewing him about his charitable work. He and his wife are both on. And he said, the reporter said, I know that this is off topic, that we're lauding your great charitable work, but as a reporter, I'd be remiss not to ask you if you wanted to make a statement. He didn't even ask your question. He asked him, do you want to make a statement? And he just sat there with his head down and shook his head and did not say a word. He shook his head for 2 minutes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I did see that. Well, and what's up with the wife being in all the interviews? Has this been a regular thing for him? Because, I didn't really keep up with him, so I don't know. But it seems kind of odd place to me and odd timing. Like, maybe she did interviews with him prior to all this, and then okay. But if not, that kind of sends a red flag up to me.
Well, I don't know, because literally he's been off the radar for so long.
Because that, to me, that smells like a PR stunt. United Front. Like, it's very concerning to me. And I really feel bad for these women. And if there are some of them that are coming forward for the, you know, to get their face on TV, it's very sad, and shame on them for really screwing it up for the women that bad shit happened. Like, Janice Dickinson came out and was, like, crying and was all sorts of a mess about it. And I'm just like, I love Janice, but I don't know.
Janice is a mess about everything, though.
Yeah, and she did have the pictures of, she had the, but I loved, she had this reality show on Oxygen with her Models Inc. Oh, it was so good. But she, I don't know, like, you know, I think she went too far, and she's a mess, and she's crying about it. And it's like, you're a ballsy chick who have always spoken your mind, and I just don't see her being the type of person that would have kept her mouth shut about it. Mm-hmm. But she did have the pictures of that man in his robe, and that sure as hell was the ugliest robe I ever did see.
Yeah, but what year was that?
Well, he single-handedly
worked
on ugly sweaters in the
80s. Oh, God.
You ain't kidding.
I had some of those.
I don't know. It's just very heartbreaking because either way, it's bad.
Nobody
wins. You know,
wins.
Either way. Yeah, nobody. There's no winners in this. Because if he didn't do it, then his career's fucked in his last golden years. It's over. And if he did do it, that means the man that we grew up with, Mr. Huxtable, is a monster. And quite frankly, I do believe he's a monster. But it's, you know, it's just very sad. It's, and I don't think the stories are going to stop. I think they're going to keep coming out, and it's going to get worse. And I would not be surprised if something tragic happens. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, but it also, something tragic. But it also goes to show you that money can get you into everything and funny, because he ain't an attractive man.
No.
And for all that, you know, that money gets you everywhere and gets all the people come after you, come to you too. So, you know. I mean, not to blame, you know, I'm not saying that it's anybody, women's fault or anything that might have happened to them, but, you know, at some point they chose to be with him. At some point. They wanted to be in that situation around him. And, all that time in the 70s, all the drugs and everything, God only knows, you don't know what Cosby was like. You don't know what happened. They're saying they were drugged, but they may not elaborate on, you know, that, hey, that's what they were doing in the first place, and now they recalled it afterwards, and, hey, they regretted it. Maybe, you know, they did something they didn't want to and got themselves in a situation they really didn't want to be in. Now they're going to lay it on and make it like it was something that it couldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
the 70s was just
very
a drug-infested era.
They're all going to be in that situation, though. I mean, they keep coming. They stuff more and more of them stepping forward.
Right.
People need to step forward with the proof and the time and everything to...
Well, I think Freddie has a point in the sense of at some point you chose to be around this man to, you know, because a few of the women have said that he was going to better his career or whatnot. So I do think that is a great way to open the conversation of be aware of your surroundings. If somebody at that point who was that famous is asking you back to his hotel room to do blow, it's probably not a place you want to be at. And now, today, in this society, I would hope that we'd be smart enough to know that's probably not where you want to be. You know, I've had friends that have got invited back to the buses from the concerts thinking, oh, they're going to hang out, and what do you think happened? And it's like, and you know, they were fine with it, but I'm like, well, you knew why you were going back to the bus. Like, you weren't just going to hang out.
I'm a bit of a local celebrity. I ain't got anybody wanting to come back to my room.
Well, will it make you feel better if I say you rate me? No, that's horrible. It's not even funny. I'm a bad person. I'm going to hell.
It wouldn't make me feel better. I'd be, what the hell did you give me to make me do that?
Oh, I was skinny and cute at one point, damn it.
Yes.
Thanks for that.
Next.
Yeah.
All right,
just
and
crazy.
Then that the stuff that the, what is it, the
Holy
CIA?
Holy shit.
Yeah,
yes.
This
public.
One, I have to tell you, I'm in the dark on this, so I'm going to look it up a little bit
okay.
while you're doing
so
this.
So I've got a little report here. Let me just pull this out, okay? So a top CIA official in charge of the agency's interrogation programs claimed he was unaware of some of the most gruesome techniques revealed by the Senate's so-called torture report. First question, a top CIA official, how do you not know this shit, and where'd they get the report from? You talk about the Senate's lying? Okay, problem number one. But they said that detainees were made to stand on broken limbs or forced to take food or water rectally. Now, last time I checked, that was kind of like called boofing, right? Like, so they were making these people boof? Just kind of crazy. It's called what?
I think it's called rape.
Yeah. Rape?
Yeah, you're forcing shit up somebody's ass without their permission.
I'm sorry, it should not be funny. Well, this guy says, he says he's not aware of detainees being given water or food via their rectum. Rectal hydration thing sounds like a medical procedure, but that's not part of the approved and sanctioned techniques that were given to us by our guys and approved, is what this man said. He also said that harsh interrogation practices produced intelligence that helped track down Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden killed in the special raid. There's also a quote saying the CIA had a very young person in charge of the facility prior to 2002. The CIA station dropped the ball and somebody froze to death there. And now I can remember watching The View and Rosie and Elizabeth were on, and Elizabeth was all about Guantanamo and the torturing thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, if we weren't a bunch of bullies, we wouldn't need to be doing this. We're torturing our own people. What? No.
Yeah. You know, and there was a lot of them that were put in there that were totally innocent. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And they've been sitting there. No charges whatsoever were brought against them. And it's like, are you kidding me? What the hell are they still doing there for? You know, and
before they got the reason they ate us.
You know, they did get a lot of good information from certain ones that were there, but there was a lot of them that were innocent. And that's wrong.
Well, they're talking about people waterboarding. How does that make us any different from the people we hate? Like, I just don't understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does it make us any different? Like, I understand, like, I get the severity of the fact that it could very well have been a terrorist is not lost on me. But what makes us different from them if we're doing the same shit to them? There's
it's worse. Isn't it more humane to cut somebody's head off than to keep them in prison
right.
without hope for parole forever and torture them for years at a time?
Well, I don't understand. Like, we have satellites all over the country. They can see when somebody picks their ass walking down the street. Wasn't Osama bin Laden? Wasn't he have kidney failure? Wasn't he on dialysis? How many fucking outlets are there in the goddamn mountains over in Pakistan? Follow the fucking extension cord.
Somebody said, how can you miss them? The man's walking around carrying a dialysis machine with him. How do you account?
How hard is he to find? What the fuck? Where's Waldo? Hello?
He was how tall was he? 6'5" or something like that? Ridiculously
tall. Very
tall.
Right? Like, are you kidding? Like, I'm telling you, throw me a bunch of wine, send me over. Who do I need to find? I'll find them in an hour, okay? Like, this is bullshit. You got people trained out the ass to do this kind of stuff, and you're telling me they can't find him? You can't get some bullshit to where we need to waterboard people? I'm just not down with it. And the fact that they're trying to cover their asses about all this and make excuses as to why it happened makes me sick.
Yep.
I agree.
And I do not. They should not have released that. I'm sorry. You know, there's things to release and then there's things not. And in our time in the society today, they should have kept that shit quiet.
Yeah.
No, and that, I don't know if I agree with that either.
Yeah, I don't either.
Transparency keeps us honest. You know?
You know, there's too many other things that are going on that they need to worry about. And, you know, if you want to release some things, that's fine. But there's that the ISIS going on. And to me, that takes precedence over something before. Because these people are beheading. They're literally beheading innocent people and trying to get these young kids into doing what they want. And I'm like,
just as innocent.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Don't you think, Debbie, if these people are being so brainwashed that they're going to fly a fucking plane into a building, that you think waterboarding is going to make a difference?
They're going to Alaya
with 90 virgins. They don't give a fuck if you torture them. They're not going to talk.
It's only 70.
That's why, you know, it's that this, it came out before. There's certain portions of what was going out over in Gitmo that had come out before. And a lot of people put up a big stink about it, and it was supposed to have changed. All right. If it didn't change, just keep your freaking mouth shut. People that are innocent, let them go home.
See, I just
and
don't. I can't agree with
that
because
now.
I feel like that's how shit happens in this country. And then we're all looking around like, how did this happen? Like,
no,
why is this going on?
Right.
How is the government allowing this? Because nobody's telling us. And we're kept in the dark. And how do you, if you know better, you do better. And if we don't know what our government's doing, and they're doing this horrific shit behind our back, how do we trust our government? How do we trust our leaders? Because,
people have it for a very long time.
Well, because they're fucking a bunch of lying bullies.
Yep.
You know what? And don't tweet me, don't email me, because I don't care. You know, because when I say some shit like that, people get pissed and they start emailing and sending messages to the website. I don't care. I'm not going to listen.
You know, the thing that is that the world is really messed up today. There's so much violence, whether it's here in our own country or somewhere else. And I don't understand a lot of it. Yes, I did 21 years in the military. Some of the stuff I did in the military didn't make any sense. But I'm telling you, the violence today on our streets is unreal. I think it's worse than anything in the past 25 years is the violence that is in our own country. And we're worried about someone else's.
Because we're sending all of our money to go invade other countries that we have no business being in, and sending all this money to Guantanamo Bay to go fucking put people's head under some water when we should be putting it into educating these people who have no education, because first we make criminals and then we punish them for being exactly what we taught them to be. Like, it blows my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Like I said, the violence that's here in our own country is just, oh my God, I don't understand it. I don't think
because
I ever will.
They don't give a fuck. They don't care about
low-income
people. They don't care about uneducated people. You know, y'all saw that movie 2012, right?
Yes.
If that shit happened, they're not going to save us. Ain't none of us going to be saved. Our ass is going to be left here to die. It's only going to be the rich, elite people that are going to be on that damn boat, because they don't care about the middle class. We're their workers. We're the slaves.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
They won't survive because they ain't going
to
have none of us to help.
You know, they need to educate people, and they need to make sure that, you know, there isn't any homeless out there, because it's just, I don't know. I don't understand our society anymore, and it's just heartbreaking.
Well, I always feel like you can't clean up.
Children here in the United States are starving to death, and we send money overseas. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't help the less fortunate, But we have children, we have seniors, we have veterans that are living on the fucking streets.
You got to take care of yourself before you take care of others. That's the first rule of life, and that's not
right.
What this country does.
You
got
to clean up your own backyard.
We
and
gotta
we're
clean
not
up, yeah, we gotta clean up our...
It starts with us, though. That's the thing. Like, I hear all these people like, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing I can do. No, there's a lot you can do. You see a homeless person, go buy him a coat. Go put him in the Best Western for a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter how broke any of us are, all of us could find $150 to get somebody a room for a week. Even if you saved it up for a year. Anybody that's working, you can find a way to put a dollar away a week for the year and go help out a homeless person. Go get them a shower. You know, if you're real brave, take them home.
You know,
okay.
There's a place that's making these one-room little houses for homeless people. They get a bed. They can get there's a place that they can take a shower. It has food. It gets them off the street. Why can't we do that in all the states? I mean,
because somebody has to start the initiative.
Do that.
Look, anybody can go start a fundraiser. They can do a benefit. They can start the 401(c)(3). There, what the hell is it called?
401(c)(3).
Like what Madison does with the wigs. Yeah, but like it's like a charity. Wow.
C3, 501(c)(3).
Thank you.
Charitable.
You know, but it starts with all of us, though. Like, I feel like each one of us has to make a difference. If you don't like something, it's your job to kind of step in and try to change it or try to help somebody or try to make a difference. Like, who doesn't have a blanket at their house that they don't really use anymore? Go take it and give it to a homeless person. Start there. One little act of kindness. You know, like, I do believe in the whole pay it forward thing. You know, there's been people that have messaged me, they want, you know, they're looking for oils or whatever, you know, because I do the Young Living. And, you know, I had an open bottle. I don't know how to order the shit. I really don't, because my friend signed me up. But I had an open bottle. I'm like, here. And they're like, well, what do I owe you? I'm like, just pay it forward, you know, do something nice for somebody someday. You know, because I'm not really using it. I had some extra. Like, just do something nice for somebody else. Like,
well,
just
maybe
remember
I'll do that tomorrow. I have a whole bunch. I have a whole bunch of coats that I go through in my front closet of winter coats that I don't wear, that just hang there because I'm a collector of everything that I should throw out.
Right. Well,
and
I
you
used
know
to, when I worked,
take them down.
I can see giving it to the rescue mission or Thrifty Shopper, but you want to know something? They turn around and they sell it for almost the same price that you could go to Walmart
that's why
and
I
buy
want,
it.
That's why I don't want to give it to them there because I went in and I saw a coat at the Thrifty Shopper on the shelf at the Thrifty Shopper, and they wanted like $35 for it.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's not what people are coming in here to spend.
No,
it's a nice coat, yes, but it was donated for free. If somebody can give you $5 for it because that's all they have, you should take the money and consider that goodwill, which is what you're fucking for.
Well, because they have to pay their CEO.
There is a store called Goodwill, and it's in Syracuse, and their prices are actually very reasonable. And
what is it?
The clothes are decent, and it's out in the old Western Lights area.
What's it called?
It's called Goodwill.
Oh.
I don't
know.
But
places should do that because it really bothers me when you donate stuff. I've found stuff that I've donated on the shelf for more retail than more. They're asking more for it than I paid for it new.
Yep.
And that's why, like, you know, I used to drive, see the homeless person. Like, I saw him every day on my drive. I'd get off at TLF, and they had holy and ripped shitty jeans on, and I had a bunch of jeans that I grew out of and I couldn't fit now. And I say I had a bunch. I had, like, 25 pairs. I literally filled
a
garbage bag.
No.
Well, no, I filled a garbage bag and brought them. Like, they could use them as blankets. I figured, you know, they're homeless. They could probably be a little crafty. And I just would drop off my clothes because, you know, it's the least I could do. Like, if I don't have any change, like, you know, maybe they like to smoke. I'll throw them a cigarette, you know.
I gave one time on the corner on Teal Ave right there on the on-ramp at 690. I gave somebody – I happened to just come home from vacation, and I had that LeBaron convertible, and I had a cooler sitting on the passenger seat – and I happened to have a loaf of bread, bologna, and mustard and cheese just sitting there that I was taking home to pretty much probably throw out. And I'm like, here, the guy started crying when I handed it.
Right. And it's like that. That could have like just changed his life to giving him hope. But we are out of time. This has been fantastic. Make sure you go to myuncensoredradio.com. You can listen to us anytime, anywhere. And if anybody's by a computer and want to play the same song, hit it. Or you can just end the show too. That's fine. Whoop, whoop.
Oh, somebody
whoop.
Hit the button.
Hey, you
and
know
you
what's
can follow
every-
us on Twitter. Bye. All right, go, sister. We doing the after show. We're telling people.
Next week is going to be our last show before Christmas. Can we talk about the stupid elf on the shelf thing? What is
yes,
that?
Yes, and I meant to do that tonight. Oh,
yeah,
I hate that son of a bitch.
Elf on a shelf or whore in a drawer? I mean, which one is it?
It's elf on a shelf.
You got the Barbie doll with the pack of cigarettes and the condoms, and you set her in your drawer.
Well, what are the
yeah, we will definitely... Next week, make
all
sure
right.
You tune in, kids. Elf on the Shelf. All right, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 All right. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Night.
Good
night.
Keep warm.
End the show, Jeffrey.
I can't. This
all right, I will.
It'll be fine.
All right, I'll hang on. I'll end it. Good night.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Bye.
Bye.